I'd like to welcome back to the show Chief Investment Strategist of CFRA, Sam Stovall. Sam is a regular guest on the show because he takes an historic approach to the market, focusing on market history, valuations, and momentum. And CFRA is an independent equity research firm acquired by S&P's Equity Research Department in 2016. Hey, Sam, welcome back to the show.
Steve, always good to talk to you.
Everybody seems pretty nervous and unbelieving about the current market rally this year. How does this stack up historically?
Well, historically, it is the second longest bull market since World War II, second longest since the one in the 1990s that ended up with the tech bubble bursting. Mm-hmm. It's the second most expensive bull market on a trailing 12-month earnings basis, again, second only to the tech bubble. However, there is something unique about this bull market in that inflation is so incredibly low that actually historically we have normally seen these kind of elevated PEs whenever we have had inflation this low. So what is sort of interesting is if you broke up all of the different inflationary levels going back to World War II into five different pieces, we're in the second lowest of those five pieces, and the average PE has been exactly where we are now. So,
when was the other period of very low inflation?
Well, we had declining inflation in the 1990s. If you recall, we had that with the peace dividend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just the cost of goods going down as technology improved. But also, you had very low inflation in the 1940s and 50s.
Yeah.
Really, inflation didn't pick up until you went into the 1970s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when I entered into the business was 1981, and we were just coming off a peak of inflation and interest rates. Interest rates were as high as 14, 15, 16%, but inflation was running somewhere around 12+%, right?
Right. Well, that's why I like to look at something called the Rule of 20, because if you remember Raiders of the Lost Ark, the reason the Germans were digging in the wrong spot was because they were only looking at one side of the medallion.
Mm.
Well, you have to look at both sides. So you can't really look just at PE ratios. You have to look at PEs and inflation. So there's something called the Rule of 20. If you add inflation and PE ratios, if it equals 20, you have a fairly valued market.
Mm.
Anything below that is undervalued. Anything above that is overvalued. So right now, it basically says, based on what we expect for second quarter earnings growth, which will be begun to be reported in 2 weeks from now, is that, yeah, we probably could go through a pretty standard pullback of 5 to 10% to reset the dials. But I don't think we're headed for a bear market, because bull markets go out with a bang, not mm-hmm. a whimper. They're mm-hmm. like an incandescent light bulb. They glow brightest just before they go out, and they don't die of old age, they die of fright, and they're most afraid of recessions.
Well, let's do some of the math here. So inflation, would we say, is running around 2%?
Oh, actually 1.7% on a year-over-year core basis,
okay.
And that's what the Fed is getting a bit worried about,
yeah,
is how low inflation is.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they want to add interest rates because they want to be able to add arrows to their quiver for
yeah.
the next time to yeah. fight another recession. But
yeah.
a lot of people are saying, you know, inflation is too low to be aggressively raising rates.
Yeah, but, you know, if they add too many arrows to the quiver, maybe they're going to be able to shoot themselves in the foot and they're going to cause the next recession.
Very good.
Listen, so we've got inflation at 1.7. We want to add P/E ratios to that. You know, the P/E ratio thing really bugs me because every article you read quotes a number for P/E ratio. What numbers would you want to use for that part of the calculation?
Well, I do use operating earnings, which some people call earnings before bad stuff. If you use something called GAAP, which means generally accepted accounting principles, also known as reported,
uh-huh.
I call that Prego spaghetti sauce because everything is in there.
Yeah.
Historically, until 1988, it was okay to use GAAP because that's basically all there was. But since 1988, Wall Street has essentially been focusing on the operating results, so that's what I look at.
Okay.
So if you look to S&P Global, their consensus estimates, you look to Bloomberg, you look to FactSet, whomever, they're all pretty close in terms of what the operating earnings estimates are. And you can also find them in many financial publications.
Okay, so what is the number?
The P.E. ratio right now, we are trading at a P.E. of about 24, which is P.E. plus inflation. So we are overvalued by, I would say, about 8% right now.
Well, hold on. I'm a little confused. So what we're doing is we're using your formula, add inflation to the P.E. and use the rule of 20. Inflation's at 1.7. What was the operating P.E. estimate then, I guess, without inflation?
Right. So the P.E. right now is, based on the estimates for June earnings, is 19.6.
Ah, there you go. Okay,
19.6. So the P.E. is 19.6 on year-over-year operating earnings, and we are then at 1.7 on CPI.
All right, 21.3 is the number. And so we're slightly overvalued, is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Okay,
so we are
cool.
Slightly overvalued.
All right.
But not overly so. Mm-hmm. So, you know, basically it says to me that, yeah, we could go through what I call a pullback, which is a 5 to 10% decline, which basically happens at least once a year on average since World War II. We have not had anything like that since February of 2016 was when the most recent decline actually bottomed out.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, I remember that. It was a little bit ugly. I mean, market got hit by 10 to 12%. So let's talk about the rest of the year, though. So we've had, you know, market, the S&P 500, you know, obviously we're recording this on a Friday. It's going to air on the following week. So, you know, our numbers are going to be a little bit delayed or a little bit off. But right now the S&P is up about 9.5% this year, something like that, through June.
With dividends. Right.
With dividends. Okay. So 9.5%. What's your thinking for the rest of the year?
Well, I'm thinking that we probably could see the S&P at about close to about 2,500. Again, because I think that the market has gotten ahead of itself in terms of anticipating earnings growth. Inflation is actually expected to be creeping just a little bit higher as we move forward to the end of this year. So I believe that we're probably going to see the S&P 500, you know, around the 2,500 level, and then go up to about 2,550 or so by this time next year.
So all right, so we're at around 20.
Low single digit.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say we're at 2,426 right now. So 2,500 minus 2,426, that's 74 points on 2,426, 3%.
Yeah.
Can't you do better than that, Sam? Can't we do better?
Well, yes. All right. Now you're bringing up a question as to where is the risk? Is the risk to the upside or to the downside?
That's the question.
I actually think that the risk is to the upside. And here are a couple of reasons why. First off, before airtime, you and I were chatting about how low volatility is. And people are spooked by that, thinking, oh, my gosh, we're setting ourselves up for something. When, in fact, going back to World War II, whenever we have had a calendar year in which it had a below average volatility, but an above average number of all-time highs. That's happened 17 times, and the market was up that entire year 17 times by an average of about 19%.
Wow. Okay.
So that's one indicator. Another is people are saying, well, gee, we did pretty well in the first half of this year. The S&P was up about 8% through last night. So the question is, did we borrow from the rest of the year? Because we had a 12-month return in the first 6 months. And again, history says, no, we're actually in a sweet spot. Whenever we have had, and again, breaking all first half changes into quintiles or five different slices, we are in the second highest slice between 7 and 12%. And whenever that happened, the market was higher by another 5% in the second half. The full year was up about 16%, and the second half was higher almost 9 out of every 10 times.
Wow. Okay, so history is no predictor of the future, but it gives us a little perspective.
Exactly.
want to be careful out there, right? You know,
What worked in the past is there's no guarantee it's going to work again in the future, but, you know, people frequently ask. I mean, if without history, how would you know a stock is overvalued if you had nothing to compare it with?
Exactly. So here's the headline for today's segment, and I'm going to quote Sam Stovall from CFRA. No bear market. I heard you say that, Sam. I'm sorry.
Well, and I'm happy to say it again. One reason is because I don't see a recession on the horizon. I look at four different indicators. I look at housing starts. On a year-over-year basis, every recession since 1960 was preceded by a decline on average of 25%. We are down 2.4%, so yeah, maybe you could say we're in a yellow alert phase, but nowhere near a red alert phase. Mm-hmm. Construction is important, mainly because of consumer confidence. Who's going to buy a house if they think that they're going to lose their job fairly soon? So typically, we've seen about a 10% decline in consumer confidence before we slip into recession. We're in positive territory still. The Conference Board's leading economic indicators usually see about a 3% six-month decline. We're up about 2%. And then finally, I look at the yield curve, the difference between the 10-year interest rate and the one-year interest rate. Normally, it is inverted, meaning the short rate is higher than the long rate by about one percentage point, whereas the opposite is true today. Yeah. The yield curve is positively sloped by about one percentage point. So
no indication.
There is nothing
that indicates
to me.
Well, hey, Sam, we got to go. Sorry to cut you off. Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist of CFRA. Until next time, Sam.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Steve.
To hear this conversation again and to hear more about Sam Stovall and his work, don't forget to join the conversation at stevepomerantz.com.